Welcome to Book Geeks Uncompromised. We read and review fantasy and sci-fi novels. We also like to talk about bookish news going on in our world today. We're your hosts,
Danny
and Greg.
Fair warning to all listeners, this podcast book discussion will contain spoilers. For a spoiler-free review, please visit our website at bookgeeksunc.com. There will be one more spoiler alert given before the book discussion begins.
Welcome to Book Geeks Uncompromised, episode 19. This week, we're reviewing the Agartis Epilogues by Kay Veloso. Thank you. Thank you for mimicking me the whole time.
You're welcome.
I was surprised I didn't laugh. I was getting ready to bust out laughing.
I just started to notice you use like the same inflection like every week. Yeah. So I got
Book Geeks Uncompromised. I don't know why. I know the name's long, but it's fun to say.
Yeah.
It's really the Book Geeks Uncompromised. You know, just get goofy with it. So
you're
hi.
I'm gonna start like making a different song of it every week or something.
kinda like have a new intro every week, just like Book Geeks Uncompromised. And exactly. The next week after that, it's Book Geeks Uncompromised. You know, just
you're running through all the ideas
I
right
am.
Here.
Getting this it's new. It's our new intro. You're welcome. You're welcome, audience. All right. Well, we are back. We are the Book Geeks.
Uncompromised.
But we're the Book Geeks. We're just uncompromised. So
we're just uncompromising about being Book Geeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No one can compromise us about being Book Geeks. It will never happen. Uncompromisable.
I feel like this conversation's going nowhere.
And no, it is going everywhere. We are saying hi.
It's going everywhere.
That's true.
All right. Well, I know you listened to some audiobooks. What did you read this week?
This week, book that we will be reviewing on the site only was Malice by, what was the author's name?
John Gwynn,
Malice. Yeah.
The first book of The Faithful and the Fallen.
And as of now, I have actually finished it. So
yeah, I haven't. I've got so many other books that I want to read this week, too, that I was like, you know what? I've got like an hour and a half left of it on audiobook. I'll finish it Monday morning at work and then jump on the next one.
Right. So that was my week. And obviously, this podcast won't be about that book. But just to say a little bit about it, it was good. I don't want to say this was a high epic fantasy book, because it wasn't that, but
it was definitely high fantasy.
It was high fantasy, and it was fun. The narrator, I don't have his name on hand, wasn't very good. Was not a fan.
I don't think he was bad. He just maybe wasn't the right pick for that particular book, because so many of the characters are young, in the late teens, early 20s,
right.
And his voice just made them sound really old.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, and it didn't fit. And my problem with high fantasy books, listening to audiobook, and this is all high fantasy, is the names can be very confusing sometimes, and they could be long or weird
or kind of run together a little bit.
So that on audiobook, that can be difficult to try to keep them all straight.
Yeah,
reading it, it's not so bad because you see it in front of you. So
yeah,
but otherwise, pretty good week. Just listened to that and played video games and worked two jobs. Fun stuff.
Lucky you.
Yay. What about you?
Obviously, I read that.
Yep.
I finished up the Agartis Epilogues.
Mm-hmm.
Next week's going to be my fun week. I think I've got like four books that I've got to try to cram into next week. And I don't have to. I just want to. Yeah. Because we're going to be listening to Waking Gods.
Woo.
We got the next Butcher book.
Harry Dresden.
Yeah, Harry Dresden book.
Which is...
Number 10. And then I'm trying to read a new book that just came out called The Inexplicable Logic of My Life. I started that one today.
Long title.
this author does a lot of long titles. I think the first one I read by him was Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
Is he the Fallout Boy of authors?
Yeah, right? Right?
Well, that's cool. And what was the fourth book?
The fourth book is an ARC I've got for The Waking Land. I think it's going to come out this month.
I need to sign up for ARCs. We talk about it a lot, and I forget about it, because it would be so cool to... Like, you got to read Waking Gods already.
Yeah.
And it would be so cool if we had already got to talk a podcast about it little bit. We, of course, wouldn't go spoilery on it, but I need to sign up for that.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't like about doing them sometimes is that... the most convenient way for me to read them is to read them on my phone. Mm-hmm. And that's my least favorite way to read.
Yeah, and they're not going to be there's not going to be any audiobooks for it. It's going to be handheld. You have to read it. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's just my least favorite way of reading them. So that's why I try not to do too many. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done Waking Gods, but when I saw it, my finger just kind of hit request.
Was Waking Gods. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So you're going to have lots of fun reading next week.
Yay! All right. Well, I guess we can jump into news.
The good old news.
Also, speculation a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
There was recently another Game of Thrones promo that came out for the upcoming season 7.
Oh, I saw something about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen anybody talking about it, so it's probably nothing. Mm-hmm. But the promo itself was just Daenerys, Jon Snow, and Cersei kind of walking down separate hallways. Not the same hallway, but walking down separate hallways towards their individual thrones. And Cersei, after she sat down on the Iron Throne, mm-hmm. and the camera's facing her, and she exhales, and it's like cold breath. And the camera zooms out to where it's like you're looking into one of the eyes of the White Walkers.
That's cool.
So it just makes me wonder what her role will be with mm-hmm. the White Walkers.
That makes me think that it's going to be more of the White Walkers come to King's Landing is all
That's
I think.
That's been building up more and more.
Oh, 100%.
At least the White Walkers have for several seasons. Yeah,
the White Walkers. I think that's just the White Walkers are coming. And that was like, they're bringing the cold with them, so when because she's in, you know, Cersei's in King's Landing, so
she just looked awfully smug as she
maybe,
was sitting on that.
Maybe
throne.
She makes a deal. Maybe she somehow works something out. Yeah. Who knows? She's evil. It works,
right?
I don't know if you saw this, but Game of Thrones did actually a really cool thing before that teaser came out on Facebook. They had a live video set up of something in a block of ice, and I wish I'd watched it, but I remember seeing it. They had it set to where it was live on Facebook and people could comment, and they had to comment like fire or something like that, and like a flamethrower or something would shoot at the block of ice and melt it, and whatever got melted was something that revealed about the season, and I wish I'd seen what it was, but I don't know.
I'm gonna look up what it was.
All right, sounds good,
because I'm really curious.
But yeah, I can see the picture of it here. It looked really cool. And it's just kind of cool. They had that fan interaction. And, you know, thousands of people got on there going, fire, fire, fire.
Okay, so I just found, you know, an article on The Verge talking about it. And they have some, I guess this is before
it was revealed. Unveiled, yeah.
And somebody on Twitter is like, I'm old enough to remember when melting a giant block of ice was how all information was disseminated. Then the internet happened.
Well, while you're looking for that, I thought it was really cool. We've mentioned the YouTube site before, Thug Notes. I was actually, just before this podcast, we were kind of watching some of the videos, just hanging out. And I picked to watch the first book of Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire. And watching that made me really want to read those books. Like, I love the show. The show is fantastic. I just could never get into the books, but watching that made me want to.
Oh, it wasn't revealed.
Oh, what?
The live ended.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So nobody knows what it was.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Maybe they went, well, you guys didn't do it fast enough. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
That's awful.
That makes me really curious.
Now we can't talk about Game of Thrones anymore. Now we have to move on.
Yes.
All right. So I guess we can jump over to another TV show, kind of.
Okay.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of course, ended several years ago, many years ago.
Yeah, like when I was like in sixth grade, I think.
Something like that.
Still have the theme song stuck in my head.
There's going to be a spinoff YA series, a book series.
It's going to be a book, not a comic book?
No, yeah, it's going to be novel. Okay. Or not novels, but a series of novels.
Because I know they continued with a comic book series after the show ended.
No, it sounds like this is going to be a book series. It's going to be written by Kirsten White. She wrote And I Darken, which we read a few months ago.
Yeah, And I Darken. Not the best book, but...
Yeah, and I mean, it got really good reviews from a lot of people. I know it wasn't one that we were crazy about.
Mm, yeah.
But no, that was a darker story, so I do think that'll go hand-in-hand with writing something in the Buffyverse.
Yeah, and I think while we weren't a big fan of it, it was creative in the idea.
Yeah.
Of Vlad the Impaler, female version, trying to flip the story on its head and trying to show it from a different angle. not well executed in my opinion, but it shows the author was creatively thinking of a different way. So right. That gives me courage, and I don't think Joss Whedon would just leave it to... Because I think Joss Whedon is in everything Buffy. I think it's his thing. So
from what I read, nothing was said about Joss Whedon being involved.
Right.
I mean, at least his name wasn't mentioned in everything that I read.
I hope he at least has a say. I hope he at least gets a copy of it and go and kind of gives notes, at least.
Maybe.
I'm not saying he needs to be all up in it and tell her everything she needs to do. You know, she's got to have a little creative freedom. I'm just a Whedon fan.
And, I mean, according to the author, she says that Buffy the Vampire Slayer's influence on my own writing can't be understated.
That's awesome.
So...
That's hopeful.
At least it's a fan.
Right.
Something like, I guess definitely. She said when her editor called her to ask if she'd be interested in it, she said, every book I've ever written was an audition for this.
That's awesome.
So somebody that's passionate about it, I mean.
I believe her answer was somewhere between fuck yes and oh hell yes.
Do you actually have to ask me this question?
I've already written it. That's really cool. That's. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Did it say anything about a release date, idea, or?
Tentative release date, we're looking at fall next year, fall 2018.
Okay.
The only other detail it said was that it will follow one of the Slayers that Willow awoke in.
The final
awoke
season.
Her powers in the series finale.
Very cool. Okay.
From what I was reading, though, it sounds like I don't know if like the name is going to be one that was mentioned in the show.
Or it just might be one of them.
Yeah, it might just be one of them. That'd be fine. Because it sounds like Kirsten White is creating the character herself. So it may just be a name that was mentioned, but it wasn't a Slayer that was focused
on. Even then, that was a big group of girls. It could have been just any of them.
Right.
So that'd be interesting. We should definitely keep our eyes out for that one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. 100%.
Well, I think one of the little bits of news I found... was about the revised version of Fantastic Beasts.
Mm.
I was looking online, and the new version came out, because the original came out, I believe the original version of the book came out in 2001.
And this is the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them textbook that was mentioned in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah. Right. Written by Scamander himself.
Yeah.
And from what I was reading, apparently it wasn't just like they just re-released the book, made it look prettier. They actually changed some things inside of it. And some of the things kind of pointed to little hints and stuff that, you know, everyone digs into with any big series. And one of them was that I think it had a little piece from Rita Skeeter, you know, the skeevy tabloid journalist lady.
Right.
Her theorizing that Newt Scamander wasn't just a magi zoologist,
mm-hmm.
that he was actually a spy for Dumbledore going to America to spy somewhere in the Congress of Magic.
I didn't get that from the first movie, but I guess we have four more to
Yeah, there's definitely plenty more to see. Hey, what else was there? There was also from the book, it revealed, I don't know if they ever really said it in the Harry Potter books, but Newt Scamander is still alive during the time of Harry Potter and what's going on with him.
I don't remember that ever being mentioned.
I don't think it does, but from this revised version, it looks like he is.
Okay.
It shows that he's still around. He's not a part of things, but he's still alive. And this could just be fan speculation. Everyone likes to do this, but from a line Newt says in the book, people are theorizing that Newt and Dumbledore had a relationship.
Yeah, doesn't he say like that Dumbledore was more than a teacher to him?
He was more than a teacher to him. Yeah, something like that.
Which, I mean, that could be the case, but I feel like that's too little to assume that on, because it could be mentor, it could be a good friend.
People just love to jump on the Dumbledore's gay thing, though.
Some sort of authority figure, somebody he looked up to.
True.
Or it could be that there was a relationship. Although, if Dumbledore was one of his teachers, there are some more questions that I have.
Yeah, I don't know. how to be touchy on that subject. It's not a big deal either way.
I mean, obviously, during the time of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Newt Scamander's an adult. So, it's, my only objection to it is covered if he's by not. That point.
That was one little thing. This book revealed also Newt did not graduate from Hogwarts.
No, we knew that.
We know that?
Yeah, that was known.
I don't remember that. So
I think it was just part of something that was said before the movie came out.
I don't remember hearing anything about that, but just from what I was reading in the article, that was new to me. Oh. So that's cool.
There was also with that book another little piece of news. Mm-hmm. They, like you said, they made some changes. There was the addition of the introduction by Newt Scamander, and they also added six new beasts to the book. But in their editing, somebody accidentally deleted a paragraph out of the hippogriff section.
Oops. Yeah. Someone forgot to control V.
So, of course, Scholastic is offering anybody that has the book with a mistake to send it back, and they'll send them the correct edition. The revised, the no typos. the book without the missing information.
How will people not learn about the hippogriffs?
Right? I mean, it is vital information to know what a hippogriff will and will not eat.
Look what happened to Draco Malfoy.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful.
Exactly. He would have not gotten hit.
Exactly.
Had Scholastic not deleted that paragraph.
Draco Malfoy had one of the bad versions of Fantastic Beasts. That's why he got hurt.
And that's why his family's so rich, because then they sold it, because you know that these copies are gonna be worth thousands soon.
I would love to get my hand on one of those, not just for the money, but just because that'd be kind of cool, just to say I have it.
If I had happened to have gotten one, which I haven't purchased any of them, mm-hmm. but had I happened to get one, mm-hmm. I would keep it. Oh, but yeah. I don't think I'll go out of my way to find one at this point, especially since, I mean, like I said, and like everybody's speculating, those are going to be worth quite a bit of money before too long.
Oh, yeah. Those are going to be up there, especially when all the people who do want it revised send it in. Mm-hmm. Then there's only going to be a handful left.
Can you just see, like, you know, American Pickers 2050 going through some stuff? Like,
oh, my gosh.
This is Fantastic Beast. Look what? Through. Go to page 35. Wait, look at the paragraph. The paragraph isn't there.
Oh, my God. This is worth, like, $50. Oh, my God.
No, it's looking like it's going to probably worth thousands.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a lot like you'll find a coin from forever ago that has something missing on it.
Right.
And it's worth thousands because it's valuable to a collector.
Yeah.
So that'll be the same thing with this book years and years from now. That'd be pretty cool.
Probably, because I think I read that the original Harry Potter books, any that were accidentally released with typos, also go for quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. Yeah. That's a special thing. Such a beloved series. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, that's one of those things that if I had one and I knew I had it, I'd probably keep it, but I'm not going to go out of my way for it.
I'm
not going to spend thousands of dollars on a typo.
So funny, you're at an auction just for whatever reason, because we visit auctions all the time.
Yeah, totally.
And there's just a Harry Potter book there, and you're like, oh, cool, a Harry Potter book. I wonder why they have it. And the guy's like, $1,000. Why? Oh, well, there's one paragraph where there's two these right in a row. That's why. Well, I have to have it. I mean, it just... Yeah. I think the other little bit of news I had found was that the Stephen King, it was actually his first novel, I believe, that got published. I think mm-hmm. it was his first big hit, Carrie, is becoming a stage production at a college, Rowan University, I believe.
Is that going to be a musical or just a regular play?
I think it's just a regular play.
Okay.
Did I say musical?
No, you didn't, but for some reason I thought I had written it as a musical.
No, from what I understand, they've just adapted it into a play. The director of it, which I'm assuming is a teacher at the school, basically said he really loved the tones and the feelings in it about, you know, the brutality of of being a teenager and bullying and all the stuff you have to go through, and just really enjoys the story. And apparently there's a lot of trickery and blood packs. So.
Yeah. That could be a good play. That could be good.
My problem was I was never a Stephen King fan. I couldn't get into any of his books. Yeah. And I've never liked any of his movies.
I like the Carrie movie. I like Carrie.
Now, the original or the remake?
I like both.
See, I haven't seen the original, and it's just because I never wanted to. Not my style movie. And then I was here, and I watched the remake with you and Jordan. And I could say for the first, like, hour, main part leading up to the big prom, I was bored out of my mind.
Really?
I thought it was boring. I wasn't interested. It was just, I don't know. And then the prom part was just a little too gory for me. So, yeah. And it wasn't over the top gory the whole time, but it was bad.
Yeah.
This is not for me.
And that's the one thing I wonder about if it'll, you know, how that'll translate to the play is how absolutely gory it is.
Yeah.
Because, like I saw, not Fantastic Beasts, I saw,
Did you go see this play?
Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yeah. Sweeney Todd. Okay.
No, because I saw Sweeney Todd in live. Mm-hmm. And, like, when he slices their throat, of course, it's nothing like in the Johnny Depp movie where there's blood everywhere. It's like a little
line of blood. You see a line show up, yeah.
So, because, of course, you know, that is a lot difficult to just splurt blood everywhere on stage.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how that'll look in Carrie.
I'm sure, like, she'll be covered. I'm sure she'll get, you know, dumped. She'll be, like, in red, whatever they pour on her. Goo, yeah. And then it'll probably be, like, people will fly off stage or, you know, stuff like that. I imagine it's especially since it's at a school. Like, I know college, they have a little more leeway. But at a school, they're still going to have some kind of limitation. The school is going to be like, you can't dismember somebody on stage. That's not okay.
Well, you've wrecked the play now. Thank you.
Carrie, PG-13 version.
That's the R version. Oh, PG-13. Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, so the last little tidbit that I have. This actually made international news. But, let's see. So,
That's because of us.
That's because of us. Yeah. It's because of us. Mm-hmm. If you saw a headline on Facebook that says, new synthetic drug is turning Londoners into violent maniacs, would you click it?
I'd say I probably would.
Probably would?
I'd be interested, yeah.
All right. What if I told you it would take you to a ebook edition for The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is it like a bookstore doing this? Or?
Yeah, a bookstore in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Called The Wild Detectives. They've been there for about 3 years. It actually sounds like a really cool bookstore. They not only do sell books, but they have like a picnic area in the backs for poetry readings and stuff.
Oh, nice.
They also sell beer on tap.
Nice. let's get Jordan.
Yeah. But no, they started doing it. They're calling it lit bait instead of clickbait.
I can see that.
And the concept is just getting people interested in the concept of a book to fall in love with it.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense. I'm personally not a fan of clickbait, which is a big thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
But this doesn't sound like that. This sounds, because they're not lying. They're not. They're not putting a picture of a half naked woman on and then telling you about science. No, you know,
the purpose of it is to get you to read.
Right. So it's.
I mean, because they have other ones. Obviously, that's not their only one. They've also got This Italian Prince Makes Trump Look Like a Saint.
Italian Prince. Is that something Shakespeare?
Nope.
Damn it. I don't know.
The Prince by Machiavelli.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know that.
Okay. The next one is Romanian Man Discovers Shocking Fact About Garlic.
Oh, Dracula. Yeah.
Dracula. A teenage girl tricked boyfriend into killing himself.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got, you'll never guess what happened to this Kansas teen after a storm hit her home.
I'm going to say she's not in Kansas anymore.
She went over the rainbow.
Oh, somewhere.
No, I thought those were really clever.
They're creative. They're very creative.
And it worked.
It does.
I don't know about their sales, how much they increased, although I'm sure they would have.
100%, yeah.
But their internet traffic increased by 14,000%.
Yeah, I'd say it's doing well.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a good idea. New marketing ploy for us, Danny. Let's do it.
Oh, that was their motto. Sorry, I had it written down, but I wasn't able to find it. It's, you fell for the bait, now fall for the book.
I like that. I actually kind of want to go check out this bookstore since it's just over in
Let's
Dallas.
Make a trip to Dallas. That's only like 2 hours for us, right?
Yeah, and I'm never working, so.
You always have weekends off.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I'll just go and take pictures for you.
Oh, thanks.
Jordan will drink a beer at the bookstore and take a selfie and send it to you.
I'll just be at work going, all right.
Wish you were here, Greg.
Hope you're having a good time. Well, that's really cool. That's interesting. Like I said, I'm not a fan of clickbait, but
Cool. I mean, clickbait in itself is annoying, different. But litbait is kind of badass.
That just sounds so bad, litbait. Don't know how I feel about that. All right, so I think that does it for all the news, or do you got something more?
That does it for all the news, I believe.
Oh, my God.
So we're about to jump into the review of the Agarthus epilogues.
Woo!
This is going to be a little bit different. We're going to limit the spoilers on this, because we've got a whole trilogy to go over, so there may be some spoilers for the first book, but for books 2 and 3... we will not have spoilers for those at all.
When, do you know, do we have a day on when the second and third book are being released?
I believe both books 2 and 3 are coming out on April 5th.
April 5th, okay.
So just a couple days away, actually.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So we just want to say thank you to the author, Kay Veloso. She actually gave us copies of these books early on. Of course, the first one's out, but for both book 2 and 3, she gave us early copies that we could read and review, gave it to us so we could give an honest review.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because I did enjoy them. I know you were only able, just with time constraints, to get through the first one.
I was able to get through the first one, and I did enjoy it, and I was kind of sad I couldn't get to the others. But we started them right as I started my second part-time job, so everything just got crazy. But thankfully, you were able to read them, so I think this will be pretty cool. I'll ask you questions, Mr. Detective, and ask you questions about it.
All right, so book one was Jace Eye.
Give us kind of a little synopsis of the first book, kind of the idea.
The first book, it introduces the three main characters. You got Kefir, Sume, and Ylir. Ylir works for a man called Goren Yengar, who is trying to kind of resurrect this beast called Nijwa's Beast, who Ylir also calls Giggles. For an unknown reason. He has an unknown motive for doing so, but if this beast gets big enough and gets powerful enough, it'll basically wreck everybody's shit.
Yeah, wipe out all of humanity.
It could. It could. Basically, the more it destroys, the more it eats, the more powerful it gets.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a really short version of the entire series, really.
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot of politics going on. It is a slow build. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I've mentioned it in the podcast, but I think I have in reviews that we've written. I hate when publishers will, when they're putting a book out, it'll be, oh, this is the new Game of Thrones, or this is for fans of Harry Potter.
Yeah, Percy Jackson
really,
did that.
Yeah, that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, at least beginning this series reminded me of the feeling when I first read Game of Thrones.
That's cool.
The stories are entirely different.
Right.
They're both fantasy, but that's about all they have in common as far as story.
Yeah.
But in the fact that you had to work a little bit to start understanding the world.
Yeah, and, I can definitely see that.
To kind of make connections between the countries and the characters. And that's a good thing. That was something that I really liked about Game of Thrones. I felt like George R. R. Martin and now Kay Veloso isn't treating their readers like they don't know anything. They're, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt that you can put this together for yourself.
It's definitely, she gives you the chance to, while she doesn't just throw a whole bunch of information at you at once.
There's a lot of information there.
There is a lot, but I think it's done in a way where you can slowly digest it and you can slowly put the pieces together. And like you said, she's not hand-holding.
Yeah.
And for a lot of books, that's great. That's fantastic. It's kind of fun to figure that out on your own, to kind of go, wait a minute, I remember something else about that that fits. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And this world, a lot like Game of Thrones in the way that it's very expansive. There's a lot of room for, honestly, for like other stories, for other things to be going on in this world. It feels, at least with the first book, I feel that there could be so much more going on in this world that it would be fun to, you know, not necessarily go on at the same time as the story, like if she started a new series, but it could be its own story before this series, or even after.
The next book to come out, we're looking at in about a year, there's going to be another series starting to come out. The first book is going to be The Wolf of Orun Yarrow, and it is going to be in this world, but in the future.
That's cool.
And I am looking forward to that. I'm actually considering trying to work out my time when I'll be able to reread it a little bit. I think this series is going to have a great reread value.
That's
because
cool.
There's so much there that I'm sure I missed something.
Right.
I'm as slow as I went through these books, I'm sure that I missed something. And I think it's just going to get better the second time around.
Now, I don't know if we want to go much into the plot of the second and third book, just because that's spoiler for the first.
Yeah, I don't want to go much into the plot of those.
But we can talk more about the feel of them. Like,
yeah.
I know one thing we've talked a little bit about the books off the podcast is we both really enjoyed how the characters interacted. Like the three main characters,
main characters. Also, some of the side characters, like Sapphire, was a great character. She's not a side character, but she's not a point of view character.
I think that's when she comes in, like, third book.
No, she's introduced in the first one. Sapphire and Moon is her sister.
Moon, right. Okay, yeah. Yep,
no, the third book is named Sapphire's Flight.
That's why I was thinking.
And it wasn't until the very end of the book that I figured out why it was called Sapphire's Flight, too.
I always love doing that with books. Like, we were reading Harry Dresden last week, and it was the same thing. It was called White Knight, and I was like, why?
Even the first book, Jade's Eye, it took me a while to get into that book to figure out why it's called Jade's Eye. And it was just because the beast that Ingar is trying to bring back. Yeah, Giggles. is trying to bring back. This beast couldn't be destroyed without destroying everything it was around at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So they had to break it up into pieces. And one of the people that helped, or one of the mages that helped break it up, his name was Jaith. And he got an eye to go seal away. So that's the piece that Ingar is using.
That's pretty cool.
To empower Nyjwa's beast.
There you go.
A.K.A. Giggles.
A.K.A. Giggles. That is a perfect name for a destruction beast that will destroy everything. Giggles.
Yeah, Giggles.
It's perfect.
It's ominous, isn't it?
It is. It kind of reminds me of Cobra Bubbles from Lilo and Stitch. It's like, be afraid of Giggles.
Yeah. So for that first book... I'd probably give it a 6.5 to 7 on a scale of 1 to 10.
It was
good. It was a really good introduction to the world.
I'm right there with you. It was fun because I remember the book felt like, cause our three main characters were kind of the side characters of the main, of the story. They were like at the beginning, I remember in the first book, they were very much kind of they were in the action and stuff was happening, but there was obviously this guy versus Giggles, you know, not Giggles, you know, the bad guy.
By the end of the third book, they're definitely not side characters anymore. They are very much in the thick of things. But yeah, it started out that way, that they were more side characters.
They're more side characters in the story, which I thought was a really cool new way to look at it. I'm sure there's plenty of books that have done it before.
Yeah.
But none that I've read. So.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I thought it was an interesting take.
The second book, Aina's Breath, which also, I didn't understand the significance of the name until the third book. It's the name of a ship, but I didn't understand its significance until into the third book.
Right.
That book is probably the weakest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably give it a 5 or a 6. It was good. It was all right. But it kind of had that middle book syndrome. Where things came up in it that kind of followed from the first book that were unresolved and their purpose was not revealed in that book.
That sucks.
The one thing that bothered me about that one the most, it was actually a kind of a specific thing. It was a scene, I want to say it was a little bit earlier in that book, where one of the characters gets married. It's an arranged marriage. And him and his new wife go to another country to take care of something. And as they're leaving, that's the end of that chapter. And it goes off to, I believe, Kefir's point of view.
Right.
When it comes back to that character, it's been 3 years and he's been in a prison for most of that time.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that fast forward.
And you find out why he's in prison. Yeah. I mean, it's not just left up to guess why he's in there. And, you know, you get more information, of course, about it as time goes on. But the lead up to him being in prison, I wish that would have been something that I got to experience first, you know, more firsthand.
Yeah, definitely. That's I don't enjoy it when stories do that, because especially if they don't go back and visit it in any way, not in a flashback or anything. That's just annoying when there's something that sounded really cool and interesting. I want to know why. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting to it. That's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, there would have been a lot there, I think, that would have been nice to read about. And I mean, things like that, scenes being skipped over, happened multiple times in all three books. But that was the one that really got to me.
Yeah, it's
because it felt like it was a major plot development. One of your main POV characters sitting in a prison for 3 years. The lead up as to why. Like, obviously, I don't need a rundown of every day that he's in prison.
Right.
But the lead up to him getting there.
What happened.
Right.
At least in a flashback of some kind.
Well,
You could start off with, and then he was in prison. You're like, oh, what happened? And then at some point it goes, like, it does another kind of, just an example, say he got like knocked over the head and was in a dream, and he's revisiting why he got into jail.
Yeah.
Just something like that. Just what happened.
Which the very first time in the series that this happened, it was towards the beginning of the first book. It was Kefir.
Kefir, yeah.
There was an action sequence that was skipped over, but it was early in the book, so I still felt like it was in a setup stage.
Right.
So it didn't bother me, and then Kefir remembering what happened was part of the climax of that book.
Right, exactly.
So, or not the climax, but it was part of the end of the book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that
fit for that.
Yeah, and that worked really well, but there were other times where scenes were skipped over for no reason other than maybe, you know,
time
page count. Yeah, time constraints. That's really, I mean, that's kind of my negative for the whole series.
Yeah. Which honestly isn't a big negative. That's just kind of a small thing.
Yeah. I mean, you were already set up to work a little bit for the story and make connections on your own. So it's not that it really took away from understanding the story so much as engaging in the story a little bit.
Right. Kind of took you out of it.
Yeah.
Because you get that mindset of, I want to know what happened. And you kind of lose focus.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that. So that one you said about a 5 or a 6. And so to wrap it up with the final book, which was Sapphire's Flight.
Which I just noticed today on Goodreads, there's a cover for it, and it looks really cool.
That's cool.
No, that the third book is definitely the best of the series.
Oh, awesome.
I'd probably give it probably an 8.
That's cool. Ending on a high note. What was it about this one that picked it up? I mean,
while the characterizations were good throughout the whole series, I felt like they really hit their stride in this book.
Mm-hmm.
The storytelling also came together. It skipped around less in the third book.
That's cool.
And there were a lot of plot reveals that brought a lot of things together.
They were really good reveals.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, of course, the namesake for the series, the Agartes epilogues, Agartes is only in the prologue of the first book, and then you don't see him again until the third book. And his coming back was pretty cool as well.
So is it kind of spoilery to say why it's called the Agartes epilogues?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely. I'll tell you afterward if you want.
No, I'm kind of upset, especially before the podcast when we've talked about it, and you know during the podcast talking about it. It's got me really interested. I want to get into these books. I'm gonna have to try to find some time to read them.
Well, I've held in spoilers for Waking Gods from you. I guess I can hold in these spoilers as well.
You can do it, and you only got one more week for Waking Gods.
Yeah,
so. Actually, literally like 3 days.
Yeah, so I guess I can hold it in for you.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, though, about Agartes. Like I said, he was mentioned in the prologue, and then you don't see him again until the third book. In the in-between time, people are using his name more as a cuss word.
They'll say,
oh, Agartes' balls. You know, like, oh, shit. And that's really all that you hear about him, and that tells you that he's some sort of legendary figure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really some information lacking on why. And during the third book, you know, after he's a character in that book, there's a little bit more of, you know, he was a great commander. He won all these battles when that he shouldn't have been able to win, basically impossible odds kind of thing.
Right.
I wish a little bit of that had been sprinkled in the rest of the series, just because it would have made his return to the books a little more impactful. It would have been,
dude,
a little more. Yeah. It's dude, him. A little more. It's him. Yeah. But that third book also something that made it good. There was a battle scene, and it wasn't even the final battle scene. I believe it was at a place called Fort Oris.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good battle scene.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Was it just like well described, or
it was well described? It was from Kefir's point of view, and there was some betrayal. There was desperation. There was the we know we're gonna die, but we have to go forward anyway.
That moment where you're like, how are they going to get out of
and
this?
And the ending to that battle was kind of another oh shit moment. something that happened at the end of that battle. It was just really good. I I'm not usually ones for battle scenes. Mm. I'll admit I kind of skimmed them a little bit. But I did really like that one.
That's kind of like me with super descriptive scenes. I'm just like when someone's you know, amazing, you know, going crazy about the beauty of this place, I'm kind of like dialogue. Oh, there's dialogue.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's me with battle scenes. I tend to kind of glaze over a little bit, but that one was really good.
Well, one thing we haven't talked about much, I know we talked about the Big Beast Giggles a little bit, but for me, a lot of good stories have a good bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't talked much about the bad guy of the series, the one putting together the beasts.
Ingar.
Of course, without spoilers, who was he? What was, you know,
I really can't say without spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much that's unknown. Yeah, he's the owner of Ingar Industries. Ylir's point of view, he believes that a lot of it is for profit. Okay.
He believes that Ingar is doing it for profit.
Yes.
Okay.
Which
makes sense. Build a big beast to take over the world.
Yeah, know? Basically. Basically.
Yeah.
But there is more to it.
Now, this was set more in kind of a, I want to say medieval style, you know, like yeah. Game of Thrones kind of style. Okay.
It also kind of had an oriental feel to it, at least in one of the countries, Jinxiang.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely just
sounds oriental.
Yeah, yeah. It did have a very oriental feel to it.
Well, it's just when you said he was the head of in, you know, the industries, that sounds like a company. That sounds like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds more modern than it sound then.
Yeah, I guess you can say that, but it's more just kind of an everything company, I guess.
I don't know. Just industries sounds like a modern word, so. I don't know. That word just didn't feel like it fit with a medieval theme for me, so.
Yeah, but you were talking about Ingar, why he's doing everything. His motivation for why he was doing everything was part of what kept me reading through a lot of...
That's cool.
Through a lot of it was just wondering why he's doing what he's doing.
Good backstory.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a good reveal. It's...
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't see it coming.
Oh, that's awesome.
I didn't see it
coming. That's even better.
Yeah.
He's not predictable. That's cool.
I don't know if I had any other notes.
I think that's about it. Okay, so I guess overall feeling of the series is that it was very well done. Very, very minor time skips and stuff like that. It could be a little annoying.
Some time skips and maybe some information that could have...
Oh, about like Agartis.
Yeah, about Agartis. There was also something, I was just looking over my notes with, and this was in the first book. It was Sume's father was part of...
what was that?
I forget what the name of it was, but it was like a merchant group coming to power, but changing the dynamics, mm-hmm. I guess, of nobility and merchants in Jinxiang. And that reveal that her father was such an important figure, it didn't come up until it was convenient to the plot. Whereas it could have been mentioned briefly mm-hmm. at some point in the past so that it flowed a little better.
Yeah.
There were a few more smaller things like that that would have helped,
mm-hmm.
like I said, the progression of the book a little bit, I guess the flow is the best way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that. So, but yeah, great characters, great ending, good reveals.
I loved probably my favorite just characters interacting with Sapphire and Ylir.
Mm-hmm.
Just their interactions were great.
Were they like very nitpicky at each other or?
Oh
like...
yeah, they were polar opposites.
And so they clash.
Yeah.
That's cool.
If it tells you anything, I started playing Monster Hunter 4 this week, and while it turns out I'm not so crazy about the game, I didn't know that when I started it, and when I started it, I named my main character Enosh.
Yeah. I find myself doing that when I'm playing a game and reading a good book. I'm like, I like this name. I'll put it in. Yeah.
Yeah, but awesome. I think the characters will stay with me for a while, and that's something that's a big deal for me reading books. Like, if the characters... make up a lot of my impression of the book.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a great idea, a great story. Your characters are bland and dry.
Yeah.
It's not going to do it. And thankfully, this book, the author does a very good job of making the characters relatable and likable, and you just enjoy their interactions.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
I guess that about sums it up. I think that just does. Looking over my notes a little bit, And I think that's all that I've got.
All right. So the first book is out. It's out. Good to go. Please go pick it up. It is honestly a very good read. And it's a lot of fun. And you can get the second two, which were...
Aina's Breath and Sapphire's Flight.
Sapphire's Flight. And you should get those on April 5th.
Yep, you should get those on April 5th. And reread them. And like I said, next year, there's going to be another series in the same world. That sounds like it's just going to be one point of view. So I don't know if the focus is going to be narrower, but it sounds like it's going to be based on a lot more politics in the world, which was something that I felt I wanted to know more about in this series. Because there was, like I said, there was some politics moving around in it, but it wasn't really the main focus. It wasn't part of the ending of the story.
Right.
So there's a lot more going on. And there was some going on in the epilogue of Agarte's epilogues.
The epilogue of the epilogues.
The epilogue of the epilogue.
All right. That's awesome. So that is our review of the Agarte's epilogues. Again, wanted to say thank you to Kay Veloso for letting us read these books. We really appreciate it.
Yep.
I think that about does it.
That does it. Everybody he was absent for so much of the episode.
Yeah, he had to get his little voice in at the end. I believe next week, the podcast, we will be talking. Dani is itching for this. She's like literally shaking in her chair. We will be reading Waking Gods. Yes. We'll be reviewing Waking Gods. By the time you hear us again, we will have read it. I will have read it. Dani's already read it, so.
We also forgot to mention a very important announcement.
I didn't forget. I didn't want to.
You did.
I'm just kidding.
About a week ago, we launched another podcast. It's called Controllers and Keyboards, based on video games.
We play video games.
We play video games, and we will talk about them on Controllers and Keyboards. That one, the main host is Jordan. So
I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, you haven't heard of him. No. If you have been enjoying his sultry voice, as
we do that with quotation marks, sultry.
He is the main host of that, and me and Greg get to star as his co-host derailers on that podcast.
Making El Dorado jokes all the time.
All the time, constantly.
Yep.
Mostly just one episode, but constantly.
But now I'm going to do it every episode.
There is a bit of a backlog on there, so we've got several episodes up, so definitely go check that out. You can also like our page on Facebook, which we have a Book Geeks Uncompromised Facebook page, but the Controllers and Keyboards page right now is running a contest. Once we get 50 likes on the page, a random person that has liked it will get, I believe, $10 in credit to Xbox or PlayStation Network.
Or Steam. Yeah, all three. Awesome.
So head over there and like it. Drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing.
And if you want to see any more reviews written by us, all spoiler-free on our website, or check out some of our other podcasts, please go to bookgeeksunc.com.
Yep. And everybody have a good week.
Sweet. We'll see you next week. Bye.